Well, hello and good morning or good afternoon, depending on where it is you are joining us from today. It's so good to be with you guys today for another Significant Leader webinar. And I'm so excited about what we're going to be talking about today. Pastor Jim is out of the country this week, and he's with leaders from all over Europe, meeting with people who are passionate and committed to reaching people for Jesus in some of the most difficult and antagonistic places in the world. And so I appreciate you guys keeping him in prayer as he's a part of that, helping lead the conference. We're thankful for the opportunity that he has there to connect with those people, and ask you to keep him in prayer as he's doing that. And also, I know he is very much looking forward to being back in for our next webinar. He loves these, and he loves being a part. So I know he's missing us today. But Pastor Jim, if you're getting to tune in, we love you. Maybe you'll watch this later. But thank you guys so much for tuning in with us. And again, like I said, I'm so excited about today and what we're talking about, because we're going to be talking about a big word. We're going to be talking about momentum. How do we gain momentum? What do we do with it? And so I'm looking forward to getting into that for the next 45 minutes to an hour or so. And I love our guests that we have today, too. We have Pastor Jason Swan joining us. Man, he's a good friend. And many of you guys know Pastor Jason. He's been in the ministry, I would guess, for 15 plus years now, even though he's still young. He's been at this for a little while, and he's served in, you know, probably every role, a lot of roles, including executive pastor for a while and in a large mega church. And now, as of a couple years ago, he is lead pastoring at a church in Garden City called Cornerstone. And man, you talk about momentum. Momentum seems to follow Pastor Jason everywhere that he goes. And so I'm just looking forward to hearing his heart, hearing some insights from him on momentum. And you know what? We have Easter coming up. Talk about a great time to be thinking about and talking about momentum and what we can do with it. So Pastor Jason, I want to welcome you, man. It's so good to have you on the webinar today.
Dude, I'm stoked to be here. I'm pretty giddy just to hang out with you. Are you kidding?
I know, man.
I got a lot of good things to say, but I know this. Probably between the two of us, something good's going to happen.
Something good will happen. That's right. Yeah, man, I take any excuse I have to be able to spend some time with you. So thanks for coming on today. And I know we have a lot of people joining us. And so if you're joining us today, let us know you're with us. Let us know where you're watching from. And if anything speaks to you during the webinar today, please feel free to put it down there in the chat. And also, if you have any questions, please feel free to put them down in the chat. Our goal is man, we just want to encourage one another. And so if we know, you know, what's blessing you, or if you have any questions that we can speak to that, that's our goal and that's our desire. So, Jason, tell us a little bit, man, about what's going on. How are you doing? How's the family? How are things in Kansas?
Man, things are good. We're in a unique season. So we took over the church last June of 2021. So we're nearing the 2-year mark, and the church is, it's wild to think of how far and how fast we've grown. When we took over, it was about 450 people. Now it's not uncommon for us to have 1200 plus people in That's church awesome. On a Sunday morning. The Easter before we took over, we had 800 people at Easter Sunday. Last Easter, we had nearly 3000. We're planning this Easter to have about 3,500 people this Easter in church. And so I'm excited. I mean, you know, there's nerves, there's growth. You know, there are no places where there are no problems. You either have bad problems or you have good problems. And so growth problems are good problems. And so we've got problems, unlike, kind of like everybody else has, but they're good problems. So I'm excited about what God's doing. Family's good. The boys are good. I've got 3 boys. Jace is 10. Jevin is 8, almost 8. And then Jensen is 6. And so they're growing and having a great time. We've got great friends. And Jenny's thriving, crushing it in youth ministry. And so, bro, life is good.
Man, I love hearing that. That's so exciting, man. You guys have a big Easter coming up. Did I see right that one of your boys got baptized on Sunday too, huh?
Yeah, Jevin, cool. The middle one. He's our holdout. He's like the typical middle child, so he doesn't like the limelight, doesn't like when the spotlight is on. And one of our things with baptism is that it's a public declaration. So everybody, we ask them the same question. You know, tell me what your name is and why are you going all in? And so that second question was a lot for him to answer in a public sphere. So he had been putting it off for over a year. And on our way back from the state wrestling tournament, he said, hey, I'm ready. to be baptized. And so he did great, and it was really sweet, pretty precious.
Oh, man. What a moment. I bet that was special. Well, we're going to talk about momentum. We're going to get into it. Before we do, I want to take a minute, Pastor Jason. I want to welcome some of our new members, people who have joined the network since the last webinar we had a couple weeks ago. And they're going to go ahead and put your name up on the screen there. We got people from all over, North Carolina, Tennessee, Louisiana, California, Iowa, Utah, Mississippi. So Pastor Jeff, David, Gregory, Mark, Jeff, Raphael, Brandon, David, they went too fast for me, but Christopher, Elias, Wendell, Jonathan, Jason, Murphy, all of you guys who are joining us, man, we're just so thankful that you've chosen to be a part. We're so honored to be able to serve you. And if you're joining us today, welcome to the webinar. And we look forward to serving you and just celebrating what God is doing through you and through your church and your community. I love seeing a bunch of cities that I don't know the name to, Jason, because that's the kind of city that I live in, right? Victoria, Texas. So
flyover country, bro.
Exactly. Anytime I get asked where I'm from, I have to explain it in terms of other cities. You know what I mean? I'm 2 hours southwest of Houston, you know, southwest of a lot of things, Austin. But anyway, but what's going on in big cities and small cities alike is significant. So thank you guys for what you do. We honor you. We celebrate you. And we hope that we can just be there for you in any way that we can. So, Pastor Jason, let's talk about momentum. All right. I know we got to talk a little bit, and man, you got a good outline here to share with us. You got four things that, man, the more I've been kind of chewing on it, the more it's been ministering to me personally about not just creating momentum, but turning momentum into something special.
Well, I'm a pastor, so everything always breaks down into, four C's or six P's, or, you know, there's always alliterations that make things more memorable and allow them to stick. And when I think about momentum, I think of four V's. And so we're going to get a chance to talk through each one of those four things. But I always, when I'm in my staff meetings or I'm in church settings, I always reference momentum as Uncle Mo. And you want Uncle Mo on your team. Everybody's better when Uncle Mo is on the team. Everybody's even more better when Uncle Mo is on the court. And so we want Uncle Mo on our team because Uncle Mo makes you look better, smell better, sound better, feel better, makes hard times better. Uncle Mo is your friend, and you want Uncle Mo on your team. So, bro, if you're ready for me to jump in, I'll hit the very first one.
Let's do it.
V.
Let's talk
so
about
there's
Uncle
four
Mo.
V's. Yeah, Uncle Mo, there's four V's that I believe make up momentum and allow us to capture and maintain momentum. The first V is this, vision. I know that seems very logical and like, yeah, we know. But I think in the context of the church, when I think of vision, I think our city is about 30,000 people. There are 70 churches in our city. So when I think of vision, I think of the values and the strategies that you feel that God has placed uniquely inside of you that will make your community better because you're in it. So let me say that to you again. The values and strategies that you feel God has placed uniquely inside of you that will make your community better because you are in it. And here's the power of vision when it comes to momentum. Our church, I always think of our church like a boat. And when you have the right people on the boat, then we're all rowing in the same direction. When you have the wrong people on the boat, then they may be rowing in the opposite direction. And it's very hard to gain and capture and maintain momentum when you have the wrong people on the boat. And so when we are effective at communicating our vision, our values and strategies that we feel God has placed uniquely inside of us that will make our community better because you're in it, when we do that well, then what happens is the wrong people find their way off of the boat, which makes room for the right people to get onto the boat so that everybody is rowing in the same direction. And when everybody's rowing in the same direction, you don't even need some superhero, you know, Dwayne the Rock Johnson at the front of the boat, who's just this muscular freak. You can have a bunch of skinny, people on the boat with you. But if everybody's rowing in the same direction, you're going to build speed, you're going to build momentum, and you're going to be able to carry that momentum over a very long period of time. You have any thoughts on that as I some of that, Mike?
That's so good. You know, I think it's so important that we keep that vision in front of people too. You know, we all know the scripture in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Or some versions say where there's lack of knowledge, the people perish. And, you know, we can't underestimate how important it is that we keep the vision of the house in front of our people. Because we're thinking about church all week, right? Like, we're living up there, we're working it. But the people who are coming, man, they're working their jobs. They're not at the church all week. So we need to really utilize our time with them when they're with us on the weekends to make sure that we're sharing vision, that we're inspiring them, we're keeping them thinking about what God wants to do through us as a church, you know? And that requires time and prayer, you know? I know my dad says that pastoring, he does three core things. One, prayer. Two, preaching. And three, leading. And the prayer is so important because that's how we receive vision from God, right? We got to stay fueled up. And, you know, another thing with vision, you were kind of getting to this with getting the right people on the boat, is I know you and I both, we really value culture. And, you know, culture is, you know, a result of sharing good vision, among other things, but it starts with vision, right? And so I've heard you quote a quote by Peter Drucker, so I know you know this quote, but he talks about as important as strategy is, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Why?
Because for breakfast, without,
exactly. Yeah. Doesn't even wait till dinner, right? It's right. Why? Because without culture, good culture, you don't even have an opportunity to implement, you know, these great strategies and things. So I think, man, what you're saying is so good. It's going to start with vision, and it's going to start with being consistent, with being, very, you know, getting in front of people. You almost have to wear yourself out with how much you hear it before people even start to get it. You know, so from
that's
everything.
Maxwell's principle, right?
Right.
Once you're saying it, your people are just beginning to understand it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's so good. And I think of it just practically, you know, how we're sharing from the stage, how we're talking to people in the lobbies, how, you know, how our signage across our facilities, you know, is all that screaming the vision of our church. Why do we exist? What makes us special to our community? Like you said, I think of Notre Dame, you know, that famous poster sign they have as you go out of their tunnel to play like a champion today. You know, you would think
don't
they would just
that. You know, on. They stole that from Oklahoma. You
okay,
can't be
okay.
Using that as
did
a
they?
Reference.
Did they?
Oh,
though?
You got.
I've seen Rudy,
on,
I guess.
On the webinar. You can't be doing that to me.
All right, man. All love from Texas. UT's still in the tourney, though. I don't know if you've been paying attention. So, fingers crossed.
You know, we don't believe in basketball when it comes to Oklahoma fans. We're immune to that stuff.
Okay, I got you. But wherever it is, right, that the example there is, you know, that could be understood. You would assume it would be. But seeing that every time you run out of that tunnel, right, it kind of reinforces that core value and that vision there. And I think it's a good message for us when we're sharing vision with our church, just how important it is.
Well, I think when it comes to my own personal, like, credo, if you would, of sharing vision, I think one of the things that we can forget sometimes is how critical there's a couple, of course, they're three C's. But the three C's that I try and implement every time I'm sharing vision, the first one is calling. You got to tell your story. You got to tell your story over and over and over and over again. Why are you here? What did God say? How did God say it? When did God say it? Why are you the right person to do it? So it's calling. The second one is charisma. If you're a 6 out of 10, then your people are going to be a 4. If they're a 4, then the person they're going to tell about it is a 2. You have to be the most excited person about the vision, because if it fails to inspire, it will surely expire. And we have to paint a picture of an irresistible future. And charisma is mission critical. If you're not excited about it, then why would anybody else be excited about it?
Right.
If you're not passionate to be the biggest giver towards it, then why would anybody else want to give towards it? So it's calling, charisma. And the third thing is credibility, that you've taken people places successfully before, right? In a lot of terminologies, you'll hear this as level 3 leadership, that you can point to your past successes that have brought you to this place. hey, we built this building here, so I know that we can build this building here. I've seen God move like this here, so now I know that God, he's not a respecter of persons. He's not a man who changes his mind, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he did it back then, he'll do it again here. So it's not just calling and telling your story. It's not just charisma, being passionate, but it's about credibility that you are the right man, the right woman for the job. And so when you're communicating vision, always filter it through those three things. Make sure that your calling is being spoken about, that you're doing it with passion and joy and charisma, and that you're communicating, hey, I am the right one. Trust me, I can do this. I can lead us where God is calling us to go.
That's so good. Calling, charisma. What was that last one, Pastor Jay?
Credibility.
Credibility.
Calling, charisma, credibility. Charisma. That you've taken people places successfully before.
That's good. That's good. So vision, so important, especially when it comes to starting momentum and to getting things rolling and really to keep it rolling. But let's talk about the second one, Pastor Jay.
So I've reorganized these. So I'm going to throw you
okay.
for a little curveball at you. The second one, since I've reorganized it, is volume.
Okay.
Like when I think of volume, I'll put it in these terms, that one is good.
Okay.
Two is better. A crowd is best. Think about it in terms of a television speaker, like one TV with a speaker coming at you versus surround sound. I communicate this with our staff as disciples with bullhorns. That if you're going to develop momentum around an organization, a church, there's so many ways to do it. I could give you strategies, but here's what I know. God's strategies for your church are way better than any strategy that I could communicate or that Michael could communicate in this context. The amazing thing about people like what's happening with Transformation Church, you know, they didn't even have social media when one of his messages reached over 1 million people. And it wasn't even through their YouTube. It was somebody else recording him and publishing it on their own social media, and it blew up. And now they're reaching hundreds of thousands of people every week. And I'm not here to talk about Mike Todd. I'm here to talk about the specifics of there's not one strategy in today's environment that works for us to develop this volume, right? We use testimonies. We love to use social media. We've got the little business cards that we encourage our people to take and then go pay for people's meals and leave them the card, you know, pay for their coffee in line at Starbucks and leave the card for them. Just to let them know, hey, we're not just a church that's going to invite you to church. We're a church that loves you enough to pay for your coffee and then invite you to church. So there's a billion ways to kind of create this idea of disciples with bullhorns. But I know this, if you're going to develop momentum in your church and in an organization, you need what Yelp or Google reviews or Amazon reviews are to a product. Disciples are to a church, that you need. I pray for them on a daily basis. I call them Cornelius. You know, in the New Testament, we have the story of Cornelius, that once he gets on fire for God, his family gets saved, his household gets saved, everybody who works for him gets saved, probably his whole squadron got saved. That you want to cultivate an environment where Cornelius feels welcome and encouraged to be themselves. Because one is good, two is better, but a crowd is best. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense. I think that's so helpful. You know, I think hearing you talk, I think there's a couple things to this too, Pastor Jason. You know, anytime you're looking to scale something, which is kind of what we're talking about, like inviting a lot of people into something, you have to have consistency, right? You have to have repeatable structures and repeatable actions in place. So, kind of going back to number one, that's one of the reasons vision is so important, right? What is it that we're replicating and inviting people into? And so like here at Faith Family, we've been spending a lot of time on our core values and just incorporating them into everything that we do. So, you know, we did a series on them to kick off the year. We're talking about it from stage. We're going to be kind of redesigning some things in our campus, and we're going to be putting them all over our walls. And we're talking about them in our huddles and our next steps and our leadership development classes. Why? Because if we're going to create volume, we need people to know what we're about. right? And so what are you about? How can they contribute? Everything that we do, we want it to come back to these core values for why we exist, right? Synergy. And it is easy sometimes to spread yourself out on everything that kind of comes your way, right? You'll have plenty of people that can tell you more things that you can be doing, but sometimes focus is the most important thing. Focusing on, all right, this is why we exist. These are our core values. This is why we're here, and funneling things through that. And so I'm sorry to go the business route for a minute, but that was my degree in school. So I'm going to go.
I would ask the question, and you guys have obviously already answered it, but what does your church sound like?
Right.
Like, it's one thing for you to say and communicate vision, right, from a stage or in like your huddles before service. It's another thing for your people. So I would encourage you, simplify it down to the very, very essence. So for us, if you think, well, if somebody said, why should I come to Cornerstone Church? That I would hope and pray that the answer would resound, because we make heaven crowded. Like, that's one of our, it's on our shirts. It's a 35-foot banner. Like, we literally, along our wall in our foyer, it says it in massive bold print, make heaven crowded. It is our mission. It is our goal. We want to make it hard for people to go to hell from Southwest Kansas. Like, that is who we are. And so it's what we sound like. It's what we pray that we sound like in public sphere. And it's definitely what it sounds like for me when I'm preaching.
Yeah, that's so good. And you know, when we would study, I was mentioning school, when we would study some of the best, you know, brands and businesses out there, you think of the Apples, the Googles, the Nikes, they're not trying to be everything, right? They know who they are. And when you get on board with the product, you know what you're buying into. There's identity there. And, you know, obviously church, I'm not comparing us to Nike, because God leads his church and we want to be in touch with what it is he wants to do. But I guess what I am saying is that when God gives us a vision, when he gives us direction, man, we need to be serious about prioritizing and protecting that, right? Because sometimes there will always be people telling us we should do more, we should do different things, but sometimes less really is more. And it can create a lot of synergy, and it can create a lot of identity that we can invite people into. And whenever we're wanting to scale, like you're talking about, when we want to bring people into something, that clarity can mean so much. And I love it. Love it.
Well, people don't expect us to be everything for everyone, right?
Right.
But they do expect us to do everything that they want. They don't expect us to be at everything for everyone, but they do expect us to be at everything that they're doing.
Right.
And so sometimes we have to be hardliners about who we are and who we aren't. And that's hard. That's hard to do, because you're looking people in the eyeballs that you love and that you want the best for. But it's like, hey, now's not the time for that ministry inside of our church. And guess what? That time may never be here. Right. And I love you, but that's just not who we are. We are a simple church that we strive to do three things well: worship, prayer, discipleship.
Yeah.
Everything else, man, there's another church that will do that. But we really funnel all of our resources into one of those three things: worship, prayer, and discipleship. Mm-hmm. And I wish we could do everything for everyone, but we are finite. And so we do these three things well.
Right.
I mean, that's our goal.
Yeah, that's good. And I think it's important that as leaders, we are in touch with what it is that God's wanting to do through us, right? Because we're all going to have to make decisions at some point. And sometimes, you know, I've heard Dad tell a lot of stories about how someone will come to him with all this passion and be like, you sound like a great leader for that ministry, you know? So sometimes we do have opportunity to engage people with passions. But I think focus is important in anything in life. If you want to make progress, focus is important. And that's as much choosing what you're going to focus on as what you're not going to focus on, right? So,
well, most people, I think the average number now is 7. So a person who comes to your church has been invited by 7 people before they come. And I think the power of volume is that when everybody sounds the same, the danger is, oh, that's a cult. Well, you can't spell culture without cult. Like, you can't spell culture without cult. And the thing that, about culture is everybody has a common language. And so when, if they're invited by seven different people, and when they ask all seven people, why are you coming to Cornerstone Church? And all of them are like, man, we make heaven crowded. They're like, okay, there's something to this. I got to go check this place out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That there's something to being simple, clear, and effective with our communication that allows our people to be simple, clear, and effective with their communication. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. So we talked about vision. We've talked about volume. We're going to talk about the third one here. I want to just say, man, I see a lot of people in the chat. I just want to say thank you guys for so much for tuning in. I know I'm getting a lot of, out of this, Pastor Jay. Thank you, man. And if you guys have any questions or just anything that's speaking to you, please let us know. But let's move forward to number three.
All right, I'm throwing you another curveball. All the four V's are still the four V's, but I've rearranged. So it's probably going to be a different number on the bottom, but it's vitality.
Okay.
So it's vitality. In the simplest way, you know, that it's health, right? It's hard to – those first two enable you to capture momentum, but this one enables you to maintain momentum. Mm. And the questions that I ask myself on a regular basis is like, is this a one-man band or is it a team? Because the true mark of a disciple, like I want to be a church who creates disciples. And the more disciples I create, guess what? Like we're not building big churches. We're building big people. Big people build big churches. Mm. But my mission is not to build a big church. My mission is to build big people. But the marker, and I don't mean to throw shade, but I've been a part of large and small churches in my life. Mm-hmm. And I've always enjoyed pushing back against smaller churches who are like, well, we're never going to be big because we're more about discipleship. Well, that's a fallacy because the true mark of a disciple is someone who is creating disciples. And so if we're doing our job of making disciples, then those disciples will be making disciples, and we get out of the addition and subtraction game, and we get into the multiplication game.
Yeah.
And so the more disciples we create, there's a great book on this idea called Multipliers, but she really walks through why is it that some leaders are able to not just capture momentum, but keep momentum and do it for decades. And I think it's all about this idea of creating and utilizing teams that enable you to do what you do well, mm-hmm. the things that bring life to you, that bring joy to you, that bring energy to you, and you allow other people to do the tasks that God created them to do. It's not that you don't like them, that's why you give them away. It's that maybe you don't like them because God's called somebody else into your ministry who that is what they're supposed to do. And if you do it for them, then you're robbing them of the eternal reward that God has planned for them. And I think one of the misconceptions in today's society is that somehow healthy is like a great vacation package or a great maternity and paternity plan. No, no, no. Healthy is not distraction. Healthy, when I'm talking about healthy, I think one of the things that I think of is I think of clarity. A healthy organization is an organization that has clarity, that everyone needs to know exactly what they're responsible for, generally what others are responsible for, and what's important, the vision and the strategy that you're utilizing. Clarity is mission. If you're going to be a healthy organization, guess what? You're going to have clarity. If you're going to be a healthy organization, you're going to have responsibility and authority, because if you make someone responsible for something without giving them the authority to carry out those responsibilities, then you're setting them up for failure. And so I think a healthy organization and healthy team is built on responsibility and authority. I think healthy organizations are built on great meetings. So for us, right, it's Sunday morning, but we have our staff meetings on Tuesday. I try and have a one-on-one conversation with people as regularly as possible. And these meetings, these are the places where plans and purposes are born and cultivated, because these are the lifeblood of every team. And how you meet is critical. Like, this is where the true power of a positive leader is felt by the team. And great meetings identify the goals of every meeting. They eliminate distractions. They come back to your values, and they attack the day. And the last thing I think about when I think about healthy is purpose. Like, great leaders give people a purpose, not just a job, right? We're in ministry. None of us have a job. We have a calling, and we have an anointing. And we have the best job on the planet because we're not recruiting people to go sell cars or mine for coal. We're calling people to go out and sell Jesus and mine for potential. Like, we have the best purpose on the planet. And so great leaders are going to give people a purpose, not just a job to do. And so you got to define your organization, you know, what you want to be and what you want your guests to feel and what we all have to do to accomplish those goals. But the real beauty in this is identifying that God-ordained identity that he has placed in those individuals. And being you don't have to be a prophet to be prophetic and call things out of people and say, hey, this is what I feel like God is showing me about you. And then watching them light up. Because in a world of fake likes and fake hearts and fake shares, you actually get to look people in the eyes and say, man, I see God's hand on your life, and let me tell you where. And then they light up like a Christmas tree, because I would imagine you're the first person who's ever spoken to them about God's plan for their life. And so that when I think of healthy and being able to maintain momentum, I think of those things. And so I hope I did a good job communicating that. But what do you think of vitality and health, Pastor Mike? What do you think of when it comes to that?
I think you said it, connecting people to purpose. That's what we have the opportunity to do. We're not, you know, asking people to do us a favor or serve or cover this because I don't like to do it. We're connecting people to purpose. And I think when I hear you talking about vitality, I think of the scriptures in the Bible where we're reading about people who were serving in the temple and the people who did this, that, and the other, and they all had their place and they all had purpose. You know, it wasn't built around a person. There was ownership. And I think about cultivating that within our church. You know, when we as pastors, when we get people connected, create opportunity for them to take ownership and to serve and to use their gifts, we're connecting them to purpose. And I'm a strong believer that all of us need that. We need to be connected to the local church to purpose. And I think of 1 Corinthians 12, you know, it talks about one body, different parts. And that's the ultimate goal, you know, one, yes, to reach people for Jesus, you know, but two, to create disciples to the point that they're using their gifts for God, that they're serving. And man, I think as we're talking about momentum, when you have a group of people, hundreds of people who are taking ownership and committed to serving the kingdom and to using their gifts. Talk about momentum. That's momentum right there. And so we have, as leaders, we have to create space and opportunity for that. You know, that's why vision is important. That's why getting out front is important. Because if not, we're not going to create opportunity for people to be able to, you know, find purpose through serving. So at Faith Family all the time, we talk about how we're not Faith Family without our dream teamers, without the people who take ownership and serve in whatever capacity it is, that gives us the opportunity to minister to God's heart and to minister to so many more people than we could ever minister if it was just a small group of us staff up here trying to do everything, you know? Vitality, I think not only is it important for every single believer, but the momentum that comes from that level of ownership, from that level of purpose, that's a big deal. So I love it.
Well, I'll tell, you know, I'll tell on myself for a second. Sometimes we celebrate our wins and we don't ever share the losses because, so when we took over the church in June of 2021, we had 452 people at Mother's Day service. You know, typically Mother's Day is probably Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, you know, typically as far as the larger, one of the larger services you're going to have in the year. And so put that in perspective, 452 people at Mother's Day. So then my first message that I preached was the first Sunday of June. Over the next 8 weeks, at the end of the eighth week, we had 966 people in church. So we doubled and then some in an 8 week span in the middle of summer. You know, summer is typically not a great time to grow the church. And that sounds really great, except we weren't healthy. We didn't have enough teams. We were so we were not anywhere close to ready. So we had momentum, but because we weren't we had no vitality, we weren't healthy, we weren't sharing the load amongst our team because we didn't have a team.
Right.
There was no team. And so in our August Next Step class, we had 128 people who went through Next Step class in August. So that tells you we captured a lot of people. But from the last Sunday of July until the first Sunday of January, we went from 966 down to 750. So in the non-growth season, we exploded. But because our teams weren't ready, I mean, our kids' environments were overrun. Right. And if you're not safe in your kids' environments, parents aren't going to leave their kids with you for very long, right? Our usher teams were maxed out. But it took us August, September, October to get all of those new Next Step people plugged in. Our systems were so bad that it took us 3.5 months just to get those people that went through the Next Step class in August plugged into a team. Mm. We were not healthy. So I want you to hear how it's awesome to have Uncle Mo with you.
Right.
But if you're not healthy, you will undermine the very momentum that God is placing inside of you. Now, again, we've blown up again and God has exploded the church. But it's because now of the – we had 1,200 people on average on any given Sunday. But like this weekend, I'm believing God, we're going to have over 1,400 people in church, which is awesome. And it means we're probably going to try and get hopefully 40 to 50 people commit their lives to Christ this weekend. Wow. You know why all that's possible? Because now we have over 500 people that are actively serving on our dream teams right now. Mm. I have an email that I send out every Tuesday to them. And I talk to them and I thank them for what God is doing in their life and trying to impart a word to them that is only for them. But now over 500 people are on our dream teams and are actively serving in our church. So here's what I know. I know that now we're ready to continue to grow because God has placed inside of us the disciples that are going to help us to be healthy and run our race, they run their race. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. I mean, this is going to be, I think, the last point that we talk about. I think you're kind of feeding right to it because it's one thing to have momentum, but it's another thing to know how to do with it, what to do with it, right? Like to keep the pace, to be able to have the things in place that when you have the 750 people that show up on that Mother's Day, you know what to do with that. Because if you don't, you're gonna waste a lot of opportunity, right? It's going to be a lot of momentum that doesn't materialize into much. So let's talk about
like
that last
God
one.
It's kind of like pouring sand into your hand. If you're not careful, it goes right through.
Exactly.
But what being healthy does is it allows you to close your fingers and capture as much of those humans that God is sending you as possible. Remember, Holy Spirit wants your church to grow more than you do. Mm-hmm. He says, I long for all to be saved. So Holy Spirit wants your church to grow way more than you want your church to grow. So stop praying to him like he's holding out on you. He's not holding out on you. You got to close your fingers. Mm-hmm. You got to get healthy. You got to stop trying to do it all on your own. You got to empower and give people responsibility and authority. So you've got to be healthy so that when those people get sent to you, there's very few that are slipping through the cracks, right?
Stewardship.
Which I think, number four, which is I think was supposed to be number two, and that is velocity. Yeah, I'm pulling a swan on you. So velocity. When I think of velocity, I think of a speed that is imparted to something, speed that is imparted to something. And I think the question we all have to ask ourselves is, can you run the race that God has put you on? Because all of us have a race. I'm not trying to compete with Furtick or Groeschel or any of those guys. God has called me specifically for such a time as this, in a place such as this. So can you run the race at the pace that God has called you to run it? This is the question that we all have to ask ourselves. I think when we get out of sorts is when we try and set the pace for Jesus instead of Jesus setting the pace for us. Mm-hmm. One of the things I've encountered, we've got a group of guys that I have a Skype call with every week. We talk, and I love getting to be in that environment with them. And many of them, their churches are growing. They're in a season where Uncle Mo is on their team. And some of them are in seasons where you don't have to take many risks and momentum's just there. But others are in a season where it's like, okay, it's time to plant our next campus. It's time to renovate our building. It's time to build a new building. And so they're moving from that low risk, We're just good at worship. We're good at honoring God's presence. We're good at communicating God's values and his virtues. Low risk to, okay, now it's time to put the chips into the middle of the table and say, I'm risking millions. I'm going to take out a note for $5 million on our church. I'm going to risk it by sowing some of our greatest leaders in our church into a city that's an hour away and build another building. And so the thing about velocity is there's times when it's a low risk situation and it's easy. And there's times where it's a high risk situation and you are really going to have to, as my dad would have said, and hopefully this communicates through the internet, you have to get your ask, A-S-K. You have to get your ask up.
Right.
That you have to ask God. He says, you have not because you ask not. That you have to risk and say, okay, Lord, I believe that this is you. So I'm pushing the chips in. And I believe this, that we are a bet the farm, risk taker type of church. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know that because that's who I am as a person, and God's called me specifically to lead this church. And so there are moments where personally God is going to ask me to give things that I don't want to give. I'm not interested. No thanks, Lord. You blessed me with this and I like it. I like the way it feels. I like the way it drives. This is the dream. I'm living the dream. And now you're asking me to give the dream away. But God says, if you'll give me what I've placed in your hand, then I'll give you what I have in mind. And I think when we understand that, like, then it's easy to live in those high risk moments because there's a grace for the pace that God has placed in you. And God's pace always brings God's peace. We know these coined phrases. It's another thing to preach it on a Sunday, but a very different thing for us as the leaders of our organizations to live it on Monday. I heard one of my pastors, his name's Gerald Brooks, said that faith is when we trust God, but faithful is when God can trust us.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And I think when I think of velocity, I think of people who are running their race, who are faithful with the vision and the version that God has placed inside of their heart. And I think when it comes to not just establishing, gaining, but maintaining momentum, there will be times where you get to the bottom of the hill and it's time for an uphill climb. Mm-hmm. And the question we have to ask ourselves is this: do I have enough velocity to make it uphill?
Yeah.
Because God will use those downhill seasons for you to gain momentum, and then he'll take you up the hill. And that's where those first three become critical, because if we don't have the velocity to make it up the hill, then you'll do what we did in August and September and October and November, and you'll slide back down. And then you got to go back to the beginning and retell the vision, re-communicate that healthy matters and healthy is critical. You got to go back to the basics of creating disciples who make disciples, who have bullhorns telling people about how good God is and sharing their testimony. And then guess what? You'll build the momentum back. Mm. So does that make sense on that last
piece? I loved when we were talking earlier, you were talking about a snowball and you talked about how velocity, you know, continues to create a larger and larger snowball. And
which creates its own problems, right?
Totally.
More problems.
But talk to me about, you know, when it comes to velocity, and you're saying if you can have the pace, right? Like if you can keep God's pace, but so that you can continue, you know, up the hill. Where does that come from? Does that come from those first three things we talked about? I heard you saying then you go back to vision, you go back to volume. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'll tell you, I heard this and then I've owned this and for my own self. I think when you have to go back, so we did, we went back to the basics. We preached hard about where we were going. And I think there's three things that you have to do. First one is you have to look forward. You have to look forward. So 88% of people said that vision or looking forward is the most important trait of a senior leader. I think of Microsoft, right? Bill Gates and those things. But one of the three founders of Microsoft bailed 2 months before their payoff due to long hours and little pay. Ooh. And, you know, in his buyout, he received enough money for a bicycle. Can you imagine the regret? see, they went up and they went back down, and he's like, oh, this isn't going to work. So he bailed. And too many people bail in the trough when they don't realize that God is the one who's in control of this. And he'll go, oh, and then we get to go down again. So you got to look forward. You have to look within, because I believe this about God, that when you're in his word, you're in his presence. Like I never have a silent God when I have an open Bible, that our strength will be in his word. So we have to devour it. So we got to look forward. We got to look within. Because when we look within, when we look into God's eyes, when we look into God's heart, it's the only thing in this bitter world that'll keep you sweet. I got three S's. It'll keep you sweet, separated, and sane. Like it will. God's word will, when everyone's ugly, it'll keep you sweet. When everybody's trying to conform to the world, it'll keep you separated. When the world is trying to control you, or that elder, or that sweet coach on your dream team, or whatever is trying to cause you to go crazy, it'll keep you sane. So you got to look forward, you got to look within, and then you got to look around. Gang, every disciple that Jesus called was working except for one. Guess what? He doesn't need unemployed and lazy people. So right. I think if you'll recruit go-getters, people who are getting stuff done, you'll get into his word and get a word that you'll charge hell with a squirt gun with, and that you'll look forward and say, I know that this is where God is calling us to, then you'll recapture that momentum that you lost and continue charging hell with a squirt gun.
That's good. That's good. You know, I think when you talked about when you guys had the Mother's Day, your first Mother's Day there, and you showed up and you had excitement, you had all these things, but you didn't have kind of the structure and the environment in place yet to really continue that momentum, that velocity, so that, you know, as things continue to go on, you kind of run out of steam there. And so I start thinking with Easter coming up, right, biggest Sunday of the year probably for most of us.
For both.
And a great question to be asking ourselves, if our dream scenario happened, right, say a couple hundred people, 500 people, 1,000 people, whatever you're dreaming for this Easter, if that happened and they walked through the door, would we be ready for it? Would we be ready for them to walk in that door, right? So would we be ready to be out there in the lobbies and have our teams ready to greet them? Would we be ready to share the vision of, hey, who we are and why we're important? Would we be ready to follow up with them and be able to help make it easy for them to make relationships and connect to the church? Would we be ready? I think that's a good question to be asking ourselves as we're heading into this this Easter season. And I know many of the people here watching will say, yes, I'm ready. So in Jesus' name, man, I'm believing for an awesome Easter for you. But another encouraging part of this with the snowball thing that I think of Zechariah 4:10, where it says, do not despise small beginnings. You know, it doesn't take, you know, like you mentioned disciples, Jesus had 12, right? It doesn't take, my hair, I got a full out ponytail now. Pastor Jason, first time, I think my hair fell out.
And You did not on purpose.
No, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't take, you think, oh, I need momentum for momentum. You know what I mean? Sometimes it really is being out in front, knowing, this thing is bothering me, being out in front, knowing where you're headed and building for where we want to be, so that as these things start to happen, you know, little wins happen, they stack up, but they're sticking, and you continue, snowball continues to grow and to grow and to grow. So don't despise, you know, if you're starting to implement some of this stuff, you're starting to work on some of this stuff. And, you know, well, maybe it's slow.
When we took over the church, we were talking about post-COVID, post-moral failure. So the pastor at the church had a moral failure and had to be removed by the board.
Wow.
So if we weren't taking over something that was just, you know, oh, well, he got there at the right time. No, no, no. We weren't moving forward. We were moving backwards. Everything in the world said this church is dead, done. You know, every pastor that I loved was telling me, hey, you know, it's easier to birth something than it is to resurrect the dead. And they're not wrong. But that was God's specific calling for me, that I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was called to this place and this church. So I would just encourage you, if you feel like you don't have momentum, then maybe just go back to the basics. And here's the other thing, be you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying to build a personality-driven church, but I'll tell you this, every church has a personality and every church has a purpose. And the purpose is what unites us, but it's your personality that God has called. If he didn't want you, then he wouldn't have called you. But he did. He did call you. You are needed for your church for such a time as this.
Amen. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, right? So,
come on.
That's good. That's good. Well, Pastor Jay, I'm going to give you the last word and just ask you to pray us out before we go. But before you do, I just want to say thanks again for joining us today. This has been such a good conversation, I know, for me, and I believe you guys were blessed by it too. In 2 weeks from today, two Thursdays, Pastor Jim will be back, and he'll be on with Pastor John Nuzzo. I believe Pastor John Nuzzo is next, and they're going to be talking about cultivating generosity. They do an amazing job at that through their Kingdom Builders, and we're going to be talking about how we can do that, and we can do more for the kingdom together. So make sure you join us in a couple Thursdays from now. But Pastor Jason, why don't you share a last word and then pray us out today?
Well, I would just tell everybody, I'm an open book. So I believe that transparency and vulnerability are not optional. And so, if you guys have any questions, hit me up on Instagram, shoot me, Facebook or whatever. And I'm not cool enough to be on Snapchat or TikTok or anything like that. But if you can find me there, and any questions you have, I'll freely give you my cell phone number. And if you ever need anything, you hit me up. But I just want you to know, if nobody else will tell you this, I'll tell you this. God believes in you. And if he didn't believe in you, then you wouldn't be there. So he's got a plan for you. He's got a hope and a dream for you. He's got a future that he has planned for you. And it's good. It's going to be sweeter. He says, I'll give you abundantly above anything that you could ever ask or think. So when you pray to God, as you're thinking about Easter and just this Sunday, like I'm in this Sunday mode. As you're in this Sunday mode, just begin to ask God to show you what he sees, not just in you, but in your church. And not just in your church, but in your leaders and in the people that God has called to you. And I believe that he will speak to you, not because you're special, but because you're his child. You're a son, you're a daughter of the Most High God, which means you're a co-heir with Christ. And because of that, he wants to speak to you. He wants to impart unto you wisdom and understanding and vision. And so it's easy to say, yeah, but I'm not this, or yeah, but I'm not that. No, listen, you are you. God doesn't need another one of them. He created you, and you are mission critical to the kingdom. And you're not building castles, you're building kingdom. And you are mission critical to the kingdom of God, and you can do it. God loves you. He's called you. He's anointed you. And you're going to build a great church because that's what God wants to do. So if you would, let me pray over you. Lord, I thank you for these men and these women, these leaders and churches in small county America all over. Lord, I thank you for the ones that are international. Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for them. You have a calling and an anointing that is special and unique for them. So, Lord, I just ask you to do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, you're the only one who can change people's hearts. Help us be good at getting them soft so that when that seed gets planted in their heart, it's good ground, that it flourishes and it grows and creates a fruit that then can be more and more seeds that are planted into other people. Lord, I thank you for the Cornelius leaders that are coming into every church, that you are sending bullhorns into the church that will amplify the volume of the pastor and of the church, that will expand the reach and the influence into their region. Lord, we thank you for every single one of these incredible ministers, Lord, that their voice will be your voice, that their thoughts will be your thoughts, and that their actions would be your plans. And we thank you for that. We honor you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jason. And just want to echo what he said, man. It's our heart to be able to serve and help any way we can. So don't hesitate to reach out. And, if you want to revisit this webinar, it'll be on our website. It'll be on our YouTube. If you can think of anyone who would be blessed by what was shared, please feel free to share it. Our heart is, man, to help build the kingdom. And it takes all of us together. So thank you for what you do. It's in our name. You're significant. And we love you. We appreciate you. Hope to see you soon. Have a great rest of your day and awesome services this weekend.